This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Good morning. It's good to be in chapel this morning. I want to say thank you to Dr. Jones for introducing me. I'd like to say thank you to the African American Student Association for inviting me to speak. Dr. Jones, I don't mind that you missed those last couple verses, because I preached last week at my church, and I'm not sure if they remember what I preached about last week. So 3 years is good. I appreciate that. Let's give a hand to our president. If my parents were here, I'd acknowledge my parents, but they live in Maryland, where Dr. Dixon is from. But my mentor, my friend, and my pastor is here, Dr. Andre Rogers, and I want to tell him thank you for being here this morning. If you see somebody next to you taking notes on a blue piece of paper, they're from my preaching class and they're evaluating me this morning. So pray for me. Let's pray. God of heaven, we give you thanks today. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your faithfulness to us. God, we thank you for your word. Speak to us today, God. Speak to our hearts, God. Minister to us, God. Soften our hearts, God, that we might hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you drive up Monticello Road towards CIU, about 200 yards before you make the turn on the CIU campus, you'll see a sign. Well, if you're going to speed limit, you'll see the sign. There's a big yellow sign, and in blue writing it says, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with the Lord your God. Micah 6 verse 8. Anybody seen that sign? Okay, so we don't have a whole lot of speeders in here. I guess it's just me. So this sign sits on Monticello Road, and thousands of people pass this sign every day. But I wonder today how many people live that out. They read this verse and they see it, but I wonder how many people live it. I wonder today, does that sign sit up there in vain as people pass by and read it and hear its words but don't actually live it out? Our verse today obviously is Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Micah was a prophet in Judah. He prophesied along with Amos, Hosea, and Isaiah. We know that Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. The book of Amos tells us that he was a shepherd. Hosea tells us that he was a husband, but Micah was a farmer. Micah tilled the land, and he farmed the land with other farmers too. The problem in Micah's day was that the people were being taken advantage of by richer people. Some of those same farmers that he worked with and was neighbors with had been oppressed by the rich rulers among them. And the book of Micah explains to us that people were oppressed, that rulers were unjust, that priests were taking payment, that prophets were preaching for a prize. It sounds kind of like our world, doesn't it? Where we have celebrity preachers, we have corrupt politicians, we have self-claimed prophets, we have people who just don't care about the poor and the needy. There's injustice going on in our world. The people in Micah's time were concerned with offering sacrifices to God. They were concerned with rituals. They were concerned with doing things for God, but not walking with God. They were concerned about how many offerings they made, how many goats and lambs and turtle doves they sacrificed, but they weren't concerned about how they treated their neighbor. They weren't concerned about the people who had need in their community. They were more concerned about making an impression on the religious leaders, the making an impression on people who nobody counted. But the prophet Micah says, God requires something else of you. And here's what it is: to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I want to submit to you today that we live in a world that still needs justice. When the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, when the human trafficking industry is growing by the day, you know, they can't even figure out what the statistics are because they're so high. One agency reports this, one agency reports that. But each and every day, women and children are being trafficked. And nobody stands up for them. Our world still needs justice. But what does Micah mean by to do justly? The word here is often used in the language of the courts, to have a righteous judgment, to be righteous, to be holy, to be upright, to be pure, to cultivate purity and justice in your life. That's what it means to do justly. How just are you? I'm thankful that our righteousness is dependent on something else other than us, because the prophet Isaiah tells us that our righteousness is like filthy rags. Our righteousness can't compare. Thank God we take on God's righteousness. We take on Jesus' righteousness. But I wonder today, in terms of practical righteousness, how are we faring? In the words of Dr. Rogers, don't look at anybody else's grade report. Look at your sheet. How are we doing when it comes to justice? Are we experiencing righteousness in our own lives? I want to also tell you that personal righteousness is very important, but our personal righteousness can't stay private. It has to go public. It has to begin to touch other people. Our personal righteousness can't stay with us. It has to reach out to other people. We have to learn how to speak out for those who can't speak for themselves. We have to learn to stand up for those who can't stand for themselves. The righteous values we have in our own personal lives have to extend to others. We can't be like the three monkeys. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Anybody want to be righteous today? Does anybody want to be just? We have to start speaking about those things we're seeing. Just because we pretend like they don't exist doesn't mean they don't. Just because we pretend like we don't hear them doesn't mean that they don't exist. We need to speak for those who can't speak for themselves. Don't let justice stop in your personal life. Don't let justice stop in your prayer time. Let it extend to the people around you. Let it extend to those who are around you. For the student, justice means writing down how many pages you read, not how many pages you wanted to read. For the businessman, it means fair prices for fair work. For the employee, it means fair work for fair wages. Can we be righteous? Can we try to be just? Can we fulfill the prophet's mandate? They call this the Micah mandate. To live, to do justly. Not to talk about justice, not to think about justice, but to do it. Is anybody here willing to do justice? Justice happens most often when it's unpopular. When people don't want justice to happen, that's when justice happens. That's when justice shines the brightest. When all around you injustice is happening and someone speaks out for justice, someone decides to be just instead of unjust like the world around them. I'm just wondering this morning, are we going to be just? The world in Micah's time was concerned with sacrifice, but they weren't concerned with obedience. They were concerned with their sacrifices, with their goats and their lambs, but they weren't concerned with obeying God. It's kind of like Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, you're concerned about giving a tenth of your cumin. You're concerned about giving a tenth of your mint. You're concerned about giving a tenth of these insignificant things, which is important, but you've forgotten the weightier matters of the law. Rabbis have often commented on this verse and said this is a one-line summary of the entire law. It kind of compares to what Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He said that's the greatest law. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. Do you see the parallels here? I just wonder, can we live justly? Can we do justly? Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. How are you doing on your grade sheet? As I look at mine, I'm not sure that I'm doing as well as I would like to. But thank God for his righteousness that can cover over my unrighteousness and that can help me be more righteous. I'm glad that we have a just God who teaches us how to live justly. We have a just God who had to judge the sin of the world, but instead of putting that punishment on us, he put it on someone else. He made he who knew no sin to become sin for us. We have a just God, not who ignores evil, not who ignores sin, not who ignores unjust treatment, but we have a God who deals with it. I thought of a question as I was preparing this message. I thought to myself, what do we do with injustice? When injustice comes our way, when we experience injustice, how do we handle it? When injustice touches our lives, what do we do about it? Do we fight injustice with more injustice? For truly, that's not the way. Because the Lord said, vengeance is mine. I'll take care of it. I'll fix it for you. We have a God who deals with the injustices we face. And God will take care of it. I need to tell somebody today, if you're experiencing injustice, don't fight it with more injustice. If you're experiencing injustice, don't ignore it. Talk to the Lord about it. Talk to God about it. Because God can deal with it. We have a just God who teaches us how to be just, who teaches us how to be righteous. If you're wondering how to be righteous, how to be just, how to live this out, how to make these words come to life, just look at Jesus. Because he indeed was just. The prophet says, do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with the Lord your God. Not only does the prophet tell us to do justly, but the prophet tells us to love mercy. I like the way Bruce Waltke translates this. He says, it means to love faithfully. You know, Valentine's Day is in a few days, and some of us on the 14th, we're going to be so in love. We're going to be love, 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 love. But guess what? On the 15th, we won't know how to spell love. We use that word love so flippantly. We use that word love so much that it just flows off our tongues and where we don't even think about it. And if we're not thinking about when we say it, we probably don't really think about doing it. We probably don't really think about how to love people. We might talk about it. We might pray about it. We might think about it. We might write papers about it. But how often do we do it? How often do we really love people? Love is a decision and an action. It's not just something you talk about. As a minister, sometimes I try to love people that don't want to be loved. Sometimes I love people that don't love me back, because that's what I'm called to do. At the church, sometimes I love these people, but sometimes they don't treat me right. Sometimes they talk about me. Sometimes they look at me funny. Sometimes they act like they don't want to be around me. But God has still called me to love them. Amen, somebody? But the Lord just hadn't called the preachers and the pastors and the ministers to love people. The Lord has called each of us to love people, even those people who are difficult to love. When I was in ninth grade, there was this boy that lived down the street from me. His name was Chris. Chris was a Korean-American kid, and for one reason or another, we became friends. I use that term loosely. You'll see why in a minute. But we used to walk to school together. Chris would come and knock on my door every day. And whether I was ready or not, Chris would wait there for me. And so I'd finish getting myself together, and we'd walk to school. People would laugh at Chris sometimes because he was just kind of silly. Sometimes he would talk about things that people didn't know what he was talking about. He wasn't very popular, but he was an okay person to walk to school with, you know. I ain't sit with him at lunch or anything because all the cool kids would have made fun of me. But to have someone to walk to school with, he was good enough. Well, one day I got ready early. For some reason, I had woken up early that morning. I think I was excited about something going on at school that day. And I woke up early, got myself together, and I was ready before Chris got there. And so I was walking to the door, and my dad stopped me, and my dad said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Oh, I'm going to school." Oh, he said, "Oh, what's wrong with Chris?" I said, "Nothing that I know of. Chris is okay." He said, "Is he sick?" I said, "No." "Is he going to school today?" I said, "I think so." He said, "Well, why are you going to school without him?" And I said, "Dad, I don't like Chris like that. He's just somebody I walk to school with. He's my friend from 7:15 to 7:30, but, you know." And my dad said, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You know I've raised you better than that. You know I've taught you better than that. Why are you acting like that? How about this? How about you go sit on the couch and you wait until Chris comes by and knocks on our door and wait for him?" But you know, my dad was famous for telling you to do something and then changing it. He said, "Better yet, here's what I want you to do. Since you're ready so early, how about leave out of this house and go down to Chris' house and go knock on his door and sit on his couch and wait for him to get ready." Does anybody have faithful love? My dad taught me a valuable lesson that day. He taught me you can't love people today and then not love them tomorrow. But love needs to be faithful. We need to be the kind of people that are known for loving people faithfully, who aren't just friends, but who are real friends, who are true friends, who love people. Do you know how to love people? Do you know how to have faithful love? I thank God for Chris, and I thank God for my dad, because they taught me how to love people, how not to just treat people as objects, but to treat people as people, to not look at people as something I can use, but to treat people as what they are, people who can help me, who can work with me, who I can help. But to look at people as those made in the image of God. How many times have we treated people like they were something other than the image of God? How many times have we disgraced the image of God by treating people harshly and shamefully? How many of us have some Chris's in our lives that we need to go and knock on their door and wait with them and sit with them? I'm asking the Lord today, how can I love better? Dr. Jones, I thank you for your talk this morning, because I know some of us have had a hard week with Black History Month week. And I wonder, can we ask ourselves, how can we love our brothers and sisters better? Not just people of African descent, but Asian Americans, Asians. Some of the people here aren't even American, they're just Asian. People of other backgrounds, how can we love them better? As we go to the mission field, as we go to the church ministry, as we go to marketplace ministry, can we be asking ourselves that? How can we love one another better? As the people of God, as believers, how can we love each other better? As brothers and sisters, how can we love each other better so that we can do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God? That's what the prophet says, Lord, the Lord requires of us. Some of us have been really concerned about our tithing in church. And the Lord wants us to do the weightier matters. A lot of us have been concerned about our church attendance, about how well we sing in church, about how many hymns we know, about how many contemporary songs we know, about how many scriptures we know. And the Lord is asking us, well, have you done what I've required of you to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. So the prophet tells us to do justly, to love mercy. The prophet tells us to walk humbly with our God. The person said that I'm doing those things. I'm doing justly. I'm doing my best. I'm loving mercy, and I'm walking humbly with my God. Can't you see how humble I am? Lord, help us. I was in our Belize team meeting last week, and Dr. Mark Olander came to our session, and he told us a story about when he was a missionary in southern Sudan in his early days of ministry. And there was a young man who came to be a part of that ministry while he was there, and he had just graduated from Bible college, and he was ready to take over the world. So he got to southern Sudan, and he met some of these young Sudanese Christians who didn't know English very well. And the Bibles they had were the New Living Translation, I believe. And this recent Bible college graduate came to them and said, "Why are you reading this paraphrase? This isn't even a translation. You need to be reading something that's more inspired, something that's more deep, something that's more connected to the original languages. Why are you reading this paraphrase?" Little did he know that their English wasn't very good, and the King James Version wasn't very helpful to them. So they wanted to read a version that was more understandable so that they could get the word of God into their hearts. And I like the way Mark Olander tells the story. He said, "I wanted to tell that boy to be quiet. I was like, why are you talking? Why are you saying these things? Where's your humility?" I was challenged because Dr. Olander said that, and I'm sorry, Dr. Olander, for preaching your sermon, but I'm going to preach it anyways. Dr. Olander said, the best quality in a missionary is humility. Over the years that he's been a missionary, he said, missionaries that aren't humble don't make it. Dr. Rogers, Dr. Dixon, in your time in ministry, do prideful ministers make it? Do prideful pastors make it? The passage tells us to walk humbly with our God. I know it's hard to be humble when we know so much. Oh, man, it's hard to be humble after we've learned how to exegete. Oh, man, it's hard to be humble after we've learned how to do the hiccup method. It's so hard to be humble after we've sat through that, been in Dr. Larkin's class and done those exegetical worksheets. Oh, man, it's difficult to be humble because I know how to read Greek. I know how to translate. I know how to parse verbs. I know how to decline nouns. I know the word of God. And it's hard to be humble sometimes. But can we walk humbly with the Lord? Can we walk humbly with him? It's like that little girl in the after-school program I was helping out with. She was in third grade. She had just learned most of her times tables. And she would come in every day, recite her times tables. Oh, man, she knew the threes, she knew the fours. I think she knew all the way up to the sixes. She was just rolling, and she was still learning. Well, one day, a second grader was just starting with their times tables. And the second grader was struggling with their twos. They was having a hard time with twos, and they just couldn't get it. And they kept asking me for help, and each time I would help them. But I noticed that little girl in third grade started to snicker when the second grader would have trouble with her homework. She started to laugh at her a little bit. She started to make fun of her. She said, "Ha ha, you don't know your times tables. You can't do your twos. What? Are you stupid?" And she talked trash about her. I got so angry. I got so upset. I had to count backwards from 10 and take a deep breath. I had to leave the room because it was just beyond me why this girl was acting like that. Finally, when I got myself composed and I calmed myself down, I prayed about it. I said, "Lord, help me." And I went to the little girl and I said, "Young lady, wasn't it just last year when you were working on your twos? Wasn't it just last year when you were struggling with your two times tables and people made fun of you and people talked about you? How could you raise yourself up to think that you were so high and mighty that you no longer needed God? I mean the teacher. Sometimes I've been like that third grader because I thought I've arrived. I thought I've accomplished something. I thought I've done something with myself, only to realize that I have a long ways to go. Only to realize that I still have something to learn from those around me. Only to realize that God's not through with me yet, that God's still working on me, that God has something else for me to learn. I'm gonna try to be humble in Belize. We're going to Belize for a few days next month, and I've been five times. I've got friends over in Belize. I know people there. I can speak a little bit of Creole. What to go on, gal, boy. I can speak some Creole. I can get along good in Belize. They actually think I'm Belizean. But as I help Mr. Auld and Miss Johnson lead this trip, I'm praying to the Lord for humility, that I don't know so much that I can't learn anything else from the culture, that I don't know so much that I can't gain anything from this experience. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. That's the challenge that the Micah mandate gives us. And that's the challenge I want to leave with us today. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We can do it. It's possible. Even in the world we live in that's unjust, even in the world we live in that's full of hatred, even in the world we live in where pride and arrogance seem to be the name of the game, we can still do it. We can still live the way the Lord wants us to live. We've got some good examples, don't we? We've got people in the Bible that are great examples. We've got our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who are great examples. I want to submit to you that we also have some great examples here at CIU that are still living, that are great examples of doing justly, loving mercy, and living humbly. I want to come back to my question that I asked in the first part of this message. Is that sign out there that's painted in gold and blue, that sits only a few yards away from our campus? Is that sign there in vain? I want to submit to you that it is up there in vain unless there's some people who are willing to make those words come to life. It does just sit up there for people to look at unless people like us, like you and me, would live those words out and make those words become a reality in our communities and in our families and in our lives. Don't let that sign hang out there in vain. As many as people get to see that sign every day that travel up and down Monticello Road, don't let that sign be in vain. Because if we don't live these words, it's going to be vain. Bless you.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. 5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.